Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber, and what is in my mind today? Well, we're coming off our third straight victory in New York in the Meadowlands against Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor, and those New York Jets. The Jets are having a tough season, but the Panthers got to over 500 for the first time in quite a while with a 13-6 victory in New York over the Jets. So let's take a look back and see what happened in this game. The Jets defense came out solidly and played really well the whole game, in my opinion. They held a hot Panthers offense down, especially in the first half, before Bryce Young had to exit with an ankle injury in the second half. And when Andy Dalton came in, it just wasn't quite as effective. But one of the things I noticed early on in this game that Rico Dowdle, our running back, our second string running back, or at least that's the way he started the season, had gotten over 200 scrimmage yards in two straight games. So with him coming off that type of performance with Chuba being out injured, and anybody who's listened to this podcast knows that I'm a big Chuba guy, but when they were in there alternating on Sunday in New York, you could tell there was a palpable difference between the way Chuba was running and the way Rico was running. Rico was running harder, faster, more violent, more twitch, more giddy up, and he was getting more yards as a result. And then Chuba came in and he just didn't quite have the same punch, didn't have the same wiggle, didn't have the same ferocity with his runs, and it showed in their average per carry. Rico ended up with 17 carries for 79 yards. That's 4.6 a carry. Chuba only had 14 carries, but 31 yards. That's only 2.2 a carry. Now, we got to give the Jets defense a lot of credit. That D-line especially played our run game really well and fought toe-to-toe with one of the better offensive lines in the league, in my opinion. And that defense was up to the task. Now, the Jets offense was not. They've struggled all year long to score points, to get continuity. And coming into this game, they had their best playmaker, one of the better wide receivers in the NFL, Garrett Wilson, out of Ohio State, fourth-year man, out for this game. So they already come in shorthanded. And without him, they don't really have anybody to throw to on the outside that's going to threaten most defenses in the NFL, and especially ours with the deep secondary that we have. Now, usually they push into the running game because they don't have the best passing game. Well, the strength of our defense is our run defense, and we were able to shut them down enough. Plus, the Jets have just shot themselves in the foot over and over and over and over again this year. Penalties, mistakes, everything, and that was on full display on Sunday. It was on so much display in the first half that the announcers and everybody in the stadium, and even myself included, knew that they had to go to their backup quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, because it just wasn't working. Nothing was functional. Just like when we watched Bryce at different times in the beginning of this year, in the beginning of last year, in his first NFL season, just totally inept offensive football. Nobody on the same page, can't get out of your own way. And even once you get a good play, you're going to have two negative plays and it won't even matter. So that's what we were looking at the Jets offense in the first half. Just awful. They switched to Tyrod Taylor in the second half, backup quarterback, veteran, very savvy, played for a lot of NFL teams, been a starter, been a backup, a good, solid NFL quarterback. And he came in, and all of a sudden, the Jets' offense started getting some rhythm to it. The passing game started going. The runs were more effective. And without a couple of key interceptions by J.C. Horn, they might have had a chance to outscore that 13 points that we put up. Now, we only got those 13 points because, like I said, the effort and execution on the Jets' defense was superb. You can't blame them for losing the game. They held us to 13 points in their building. When you hold another team to 13 points, you're supposed to be able to win those games. Luckily, we had our defense humming on the other side. JC, by far the best interception of his career. Tyrod throws it deep to the end zone. The guy looks open. JC is able to close the gap and go up for the one-handed interception in the end zone. And it was a thing of beauty. If you have not seen the highlights from Sunday, go back, check it out. He had a second interception in the second half on a later drive, which was perfect. It was perfect coverage. It was textbook everything. He was in the guy's pocket following downfield. The receiver looks for the ball. He's in phase. He turns his shoulders and his head. He locates the football, and he just takes it right out of the air, right in front of the receiver's hands, because he was in perfect position and played the ball perfectly. And it is so remarkable and unbelievable to have JC just healthy, to be able to show that he can make those plays, and he is one of the top corners in the NFL. There was a reason why that Mike Jackson gets picked on, and Mike Jackson is solid. In fact, our entire secondary is solid, and not only just solid, but we're deep. So if we can ever get that pass rush humming, we're going to have a upper echelon type defense, because we got the run defense going. We have the secondary play to compete. If that pass rush comes along at some point this year, look out. Now, with the pass rush, Pat Jones was out. He's our best edge rusher, but we're still able to get pressure with Derek Brown and Nick Scorton. They were able to create more sacks in this game. What was our total? Our total was 6 sacks in this game, which is phenomenal for us. That outpaced our entire season before that. We came in with 5 sacks as a team, left with 11. So that was phenomenal to see. However, one of the things that the broadcasters told me while watching that game is the Jets have allowed the most sacks in the NFL. So we got to take that with a grain of salt, but hey, to execute against teams that we're supposed to beat is what good teams do. And this is what we're seeing out of our team. Because unfortunately, Bryce Young did exit in the second half with an injury, and he did not come back. It was diagnosed as a high ankle sprain, and his availability is in question for this week and coming weeks. A lot of people said, oh, it'll be 2 to 4 weeks with the high ankle sprain. Typically, if it's a bad high ankle sprain, it depends on what position you play, how much you need that ankle, but it can take even longer. I personally have had more than a couple. I've torn ligaments in those ankles, and it's an awful injury. Now, luckily, these NFL teams have the best medical treatment money can buy, and they can fix him up and hopefully get him out there sooner rather than later. But I know from personal experience, this is an awful injury. The thing about the injury, from what I saw in the game, they showed the replay, I noticed it, and honestly, from the way his foot moved, because typically you get high ankle sprains, you roll to the outside. Well, his kind of tended to roll to the inside, which to me looks more like a low ankle sprain or a foot sprain. And also, having had several of these injuries myself, what I saw on Sunday didn't look horrendous, and he didn't seem to be limping that badly when he went off the field. So, you know, I've definitely turned an ankle or two and walked it off and gotten right back in there. And anyone who's watched football knows a couple years ago, Patrick Mahomes has this big high ankle sprain, which was bad on Monday Night Football in front of everybody, ends up coming back, and then plays on Thursday night the next week. So I don't know what his injury status is. But from what it looked like to me, from the outside, having personal knowledge of these types of injuries, I think he has a chance to play this week. He hasn't practiced yet, but we'll see if that happens and we'll see how it progresses. But we obviously need him for the offense to function at a high level and for us to have a chance this next week against the Buffalo Bills. Because Andy Dalton came in, and you're cold, you're on the sideline, you're not expecting to come in, but he wasn't particularly effective as far as scoring points. He didn't score any points. However, we did make a couple of key plays down the stretch, especially a late conversion to Xavier Leggett. And hey, it was great to see him have a breakout game and make some big-time key catches. T-Mac has been doing it all year so far. But he needs a running mate, and XL really got off the schneid this last week and had a great game. Jalen Coker is back. Jimmy Horn is making some plays. So finally, that talent and depth on the receiver position, we're finally starting to see about 6-7 weeks into the year. So hopefully that can continue to grow and be an outstanding unit in the second half of the year. But like I said, luckily, Andy Dalton was able to make a few conversions down the stretch. We were able to hang on to the ball and kneel it down and win by 7 on the road. We had not had a road victory this year, and we'd look pretty bad on the road. So to be able to come out and to compete well, even against a down team, and to take care of business and win the game, even if it was not the prettiest score or the prettiest stat line, the win is the only thing that matters, because that allows us to get over 500. We're 4-3, and with the Bucs' loss last week, that means we're only one game out of the division lead. And if we continue to improve down the stretch, we're going to have a shot at this division. So it was great to see us take care of business on the road. That's 3 in a row. We're 4-3, and it's a good thing because Buffalo's coming in, rested off their bye. And even though they've looked vulnerable this year, if Bryce doesn't start on Sunday, it's going to be hard for us to win that game. So luckily, we were able to get the win that we should have gotten against the Jets on the road. And if we do happen to lose this game, it'll just mean we're back to 500 and not below again. So that's wonderful to see. So we'll continue to look for that growth. And let's dive into these other games last week. Rams-Jaguars. Man, I was wrong about that little fancy prediction. Well, it wasn't really a prediction. It was just a thought that without Puka Nacua, the Jacksonville having experience in London could really have an advantage against the Rams, but they didn't have any sort of advantage against Matthew Stafford, who, as an aging quarterback, is still humming. And the Rams look like one of the best teams in the NFC, and they're going to be there at the end. Chiefs blank the Raiders, 31-0. I feel bad for the Raiders, but their team is pretty devoid of upper echelon talent. They got Max Crosby. They got Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers has been hurt the whole year. They got the rookie running back, Ashton Jeanty, and a veteran quarterback, Geno Smith. But they struggle on the offensive line. Other than Max Crosby, they struggle on the defensive line. They don't have depth. They don't have upper echelon talent at the key positions. And Patrick Mahomes has got that team humming. And we better watch out, because regardless of how they looked at different times early in the year, the Chiefs are always a threat, and they're over 500 now, and nobody wants to see them. Trust me. Browns take care of the Dolphins in epic fashion, 31-6. You know, there was a lot of this week. You know, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Raiders, you know, the Jaguars, a lot of teams just getting blown out because they were up against a juggernaut, and they are bereft of talent and execution. The dog pound is a hard place to play in Cleveland, and Miami just is having a hard time getting anything done. Same with the Titans. They take another one on the chin, 31-13, to the New England Patriots in Tennessee. Drake May and that new hostess squad in New England with Mike Vrabel leading the way is looking tough. And if Buffalo stumbles in the second half of the season and New England is able to build on how they've started, that division might be in jeopardy for Buffalo. I doubt it. I have a feeling that there are more growing pains for Drake and company in New England, but they have looked impressive so far to start the year, and if that continues, they're going to have a shot at that division too. Saints-Bears. Saints just having a hard time moving the ball on offense. Caleb Williams and Chicago starting to find their stride with Ben Johnson, new coach, new offensive coordinator, really brilliant mind, and they've got a lot of talent, especially on offense. They've had a lot of injuries on defense, which has held them back, but they've got a solid record now as well and have a chance to push for playoff contention. Eagles bounce back and Jalen Hurts has a good passing day. That's the Eagles are so unpredictable right now. They're built on being a running team. Well, they threw it all over the yard in Minnesota and Jalen Hurts didn't have any rushing yards. Saquon Barkley is under 50-60 rushing yards and they score enough points to win the game 28-22. And Hurts really made the plays in the passing game. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith got loose. So hopefully that'll shut them up for a couple weeks. Who knows? No, no disrespect to them. It's just, you know, let's play ball, huh? And they played ball on Sunday, and they got it done. So good on them. I switched my pick last minute from the Colts to the Chargers. I was thinking, hey, Khalil Mack is back off IR. They're at home. You know, they might get some pressure on Daniel Jones and show some vulnerability in there that the Rams did when they beat them in LA. So, but obviously that did not happen. Indy jumped out quick on the Chargers. They are one of the most prolific offenses we've seen in recent years to this point in the season. And Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman Jr., and good old Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, getting it done in Indy and in LA. So they take down the Chargers 38-24. And then there was the comeback in Denver. 33-32, Broncos take down the Giants. They scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. That is just insane. A crazy number of points in that short a time. And actually, I did not get to see any of this game. But for them to do something like that in a game that no one saw them even being in the first three quarters, look out. That, you know, the Giants are a young, developing team with some talent on offense and a really good defensive line. And that should not happen to an NFL team. You should not allow someone to score 33 points in one quarter, especially the fourth, to lose the game. Sorry, Brian. I think someone's coming for your job. It won't be me. I'm not calling for it. But those are the type of losses that when you're a coach on the hot seat are going to be hard for an owner to forget when it comes to decision time. Packers take down the Cardinals in Arizona. Jacoby Brissett starts for Kyler Murray for the Cardinals for the second straight week. For the second straight week, they compete but lose at the end. The Packers are keeping rolling with their defense and offense, playing complementary football. Josh Jacobs is that key to that offense, workhorse running back. He gets in the end zone again. And the Packers take it down. That NFC North is a very competitive division and will be interesting to watch till the very last week. Commanders lose to the Cowboys. Unfortunately, I had this one too about Jaden Daniels just putting himself in harm's way a little bit much and seeming a little fragile this year. Definitely as opposed to last year. And he gets hurt again, hamstring, and is out. Now, from what the Commanders say, the hamstring injury isn't supposed to be severe. It isn't supposed to be long, but he's already been declared out for this next week. So he's going to miss at least a game, another game and a half. And Marcus Mariota has played really well as a backup, and their run game has continued to hum without Jaden. But if they're going to make the playoffs, if they want to make any noise in the playoffs, they got to have Jaden start in their games. That's just the way it's got to be. So hopefully he can come back soon, because Dak Prescott and George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb and Javonte Williams and the Cowboys aren't going anywhere. They're a lot better offensively than even any of us maybe would have thought. And if their defense can come along from being one of the worst units in the first month of the year to at least being average, Dak Prescott is going to be able to win a lot of games, scoring 30, 40 points. So look out for the Cowboys, unfortunately. Falcons, Niners had this one. The Falcons are one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams, too. A lot of these Jekyll and Hyde teams are young, and they're just not quite good enough yet to be consistent, because being consistent in the NFL is being good. And being good, you have to be consistent. If you can't be consistent, you're going to be 500 at best. And that's what we're looking at with the Falcons here. They go into San Francisco. They can't do anything offensively against a team that's starting second and third unit guys, a bunch of rookies, and with Bijan Robinson and Drake London and that other tight end that people talk about, you should be able to score some points, move the ball, but if your operation is not clean and your quarterback is not consistent, that's a recipe for failure, especially on the road. Christian McCaffrey, a vintage performance. He beat the Falcons all by himself. I expect the Falcons to rebound. They'll win again this week at home. But until they can solve that consistency problem, same with us, same with these young teams that are trying to develop into playoff contenders, that they're going to struggle and they won't make it. Two Monday night games, Lions, Bucks, Seahawks, Texans. These were two kind of routes for the most part. 24-9, Lions over Bucks, 27-19, Seahawks over Texans. Now, the Texans did come back towards the end and had a chance to tie, but Seahawks jumped out early in this game. They looked dominant, and they just kind of let the Texans leak back into the game. Now, the Bucks, without a bunch of their offensive playmakers, they did get Mike Evans back in this game from a hamstring, but then he broke his collarbone and will be out a couple of months probably. Emeka Buka did play in this game, but Detroit is just too talented. Detroit is a horrendous place to play as a visiting team, and the Bucs are one of the best teams of the NFL, and if they were at full strength, that game would have been competitive, and they would have had a chance, and they might have won at the end, the way Baker has been a magician with these last-minute comebacks, but that wasn't the case. The Lions are too talented, and they took them down at home. Seahawks just continue to roll. They're going to be in the mix in the NFC West and in the wild card for playoffs. Definitely, I would say they're one of the better teams in the NFC right now. Them and the Rams. That whole division you really can't count on. Arizona hasn't quite lived up to their expectations at this point in the year, but we'll see what happens when Kyler Murray gets back. Anyway, this has been a fun one. Looking back at last week, what do we got on tonight? Tonight's the Thursday night game. We got Minnesota at LA Chargers. Vikings in Hollywood taking on Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh, and those pesky Chargers. Anyway, with this one, neither team is really at full strength, although the Chargers may get back Joe Alt, their second year great offensive tackle, which is really going to help solidify that offensive line and run game the way Harbaugh wants to, and hopefully give Herbert more time. He's been under some duress, and he's turned the ball over recently. He's looked human, which I know Jim Harbaugh doesn't believe that, and I know a lot of people don't believe that, but Herbert has yet to win anything, really. I mean, he's a great talent. He's fantastic quarterback, but he hasn't won anything. So let's wait to crown him until he wins something, a division, a playoff game, a Super Bowl, a conference. Anyway, that being said, they are going to be able to take down Minnesota and Carson Wentz, who will start again for the Vikings. Those Thursday night games, a lot of them, there's a lot of attrition on Thursday night games because the week is so short. The rest is not normal. It's not long enough for football players. Really, they should not be playing football games on Thursday night. They're just doing it for greed to make more money because they can draw eyeballs on a different day of the week. That's why they do Friday night games and Saturday games and Sunday, like, and Monday games. Like, they just want to create ways to make more money for themselves. And it's not good for player safety. It's not good for the quality of football because hurt players don't play as well. And when you don't have a full week's rest, you're even more hurt as a football player. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox there. But home team, Chargers, going to take it down. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in this one. It's just, I think I'm just leaning more towards the home team. I think both of these teams are flawed. Both of these teams are looking to hit their stride. And with the backup quarterback and Carson Wentz playing for Minnesota, who can be turnover prone, I got to go with the home team. I got to go with the Chargers. Anyway, hope you're having a great week. Keep pounding, and I'll catch you later on for a preview episode. Oh, yeah, like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. Let's start a conversation. Join this community. I'm on all the podcast networks, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon. Find me on YouTube. Check out the video, and I'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for listening.